Good evening, everyone. Last time we finished Luke chapter 20. Now we've come to chapter 21. Let's continue. And he looked up, speaking of Jesus Christ, he looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in there two mites. Very, very tiny amount of money. The rich men walked up and they put some money in there that was substantial. But the widow, just a little bit. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. And she of her penury, of her poverty, has cast in all the living that she has. See, the rich man, I mean, he maybe had $100,000 in the bank, and he came and he put $2,000 in. Wow, $2,000. The widow had nothing in the bank. All she had is what she had in her pocket, and she took all that out and put it in. She gave everything. And he said she gave more than the rest did. Not in dollar amount, but in attitude and in sacrifice and proportionately speaking. There's so many lessons we can learn from this. See, it's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of giving as we're able. It's a matter of putting it all on the line. It's a matter of sacrificing and trusting God to take care of our needs and not trusting a big bank account to take care of our needs. And you know, as you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus Christ is teaching so many profound lessons and telling us what he looks for. And it's not what men approve or what men look for. No, it's an attitude of service and of sacrifice and putting all on the line, not showing out in front of others to get applause and approval from them. Verse 5, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. Well, you say she just gave a little bit, like being rich and all that is a bad thing. Look at the temple. It's certainly richly adorned, yes, because it's to the glory of God. That's why. But look what he said, verse 6. As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It's beautiful, and it's rich, and it's wealthy, but it's going to be destroyed. You know, it really bothered me. The last time I was in Pasadena, I went to Ambassador College. And my wife and I were there when the auditorium was being built, and then we went back many times. It's the most beautiful structure I've ever been in. It's just gorgeous. It was built in the 70s, and at that time, I forget what it cost. But, of course, it's worth a lot more than that now. And when you walk through the front door, it says, dedicated to the great God. And it was a splendid, splendid auditorium. Tremendous Bible studies and Sabbath services and various concerts held there. They'd come on to Ambassador College to come to one of those concerts. Then they'd walk over the grounds, and it was letting our light shine. Well, the last time I was there, I didn't go inside the auditorium, but I walked around it and I could see, boy, it has been allowed to go down and deteriorate terribly. It's still standing, but it's not nearly the structure it was before. And you walk across the campus, it used to be the most beautiful spot on earth, and now weeds are growing and things are falling apart. The same is true with the Ambassador College campus in Brickett Wood. Just falling apart and growing over with weeds. And the same is true with the campus in Big Sandy, except for certain portions of it where this particular company that bought it uses it. The rest is being let go. And I mentioned to my wife one time, boy, that really hurts to see how beautiful it was before and how it's being destroyed now. And she said, well, the main thing is the truth, and that's not being destroyed. And I said, that's right. And that's what did happen to the temple. You can go to Jerusalem and see where the temple stood, both temples where they stood, but they're not there anymore. They're destroyed. But the truth is not destroyed. God's plan is not destroyed. And so it's the spiritual things that endure, the physical things. We can't set our heart on those. They come, they go. And that's what he said. As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draws near. Go you not, therefore, after them. And we're in this time now. And so this is the generation he was talking about, our generation today. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. It's not coming immediately. Take a little time to think about how many wars there are going on today, and then you'll see that we are having wars and commotions. There are just wars going on all over the face of the earth in certain locations. The whole earth is not covered with war, but wars are located in certain locations all over the face of the earth, and you hear about more and more of them all the time. That's leading up to the end time. It's not yet here, but it's headed in that direction. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now that's world war right there. And great earthquakes shall be in different places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, and deliver you up to the synagogues, and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers. And why? For my name's sake. And that's happened before. And many of the apostles were martyred. And there's going to be rough times again on God's people and on God's church. And we better be overcoming and growing so we'll be taken to the place of safety, because those who are lukewarm, they're going to have to go through a lot of what we're reading here in order to wake up and repent. Verse 13, And it shall turn to you for a testimony when you're hauled up in front of an authority and you're expected to explain what you believe and give account of the truth. I'll take care of that. I'll give you what you need to speak and what you need to say. Verse 14, Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You can see how the adversaries of Jesus Christ could not gainsay or resist him, refute him. That's the way it's going to be for anybody who is called upon to do this in the future, as they were called on to do in the past. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. That's happened in the past. That may happen again. This may be dual here. We want to be protected from this, but people who are lukewarm and lethargic, they won't have that protection. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. The time is coming when persecution is going to set in, and the church is going to be hated, and what we teach is going to be hated. We'll have to be protected from it. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 18, But there shall not a hair of your head perish. That means that you're not going to lose out on eternal life. You're not going to perish, lose out on eternal life and be given eternal death. Even though you die or might have to die, for my sake, I will resurrect you, and you will be in my kingdom, and you will have eternal life if you do it for my sake. And when all this happens, and it gets rough, verse 19, In your patience possess ye your souls. For when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, and that time's coming, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Now, when we read this, it's not necessarily talking about the church in the end time. They did have to flee from Jerusalem into Pella. But just people in general in Jerusalem and in that area, if they can flee out into the mountains, or if they can flee into the countries to get away from this, they better try it. Because I don't know, there may be some church people over in Jerusalem at that time, and there may not be. But if they are, there's going to be a place of safety for them if they're zealous. But it's going to be such a horrific time that everybody that cannot get out of Jerusalem, out into the mountains or into the country, are going to be in horrible trouble. And even those who flee, if they're not protected and if they're not God's people, they'll be in terrible trouble too. Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. The tribulation and the day of the Lord, it's coming. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And it's going to be really, really hard to have anything else going on except trying to keep body and soul together and escape. And if you have a little baby to take care of or some kind of sickness or something like that, it's going to be really hard for you to handle this situation. And it's something that we need to be protected and delivered from. And if we're not, woe unto you, because you'll be in big trouble when these times hit. And we try to warn the world of this in a way that's effective, but very few people pay any attention. But when it comes, it's going to get their attention then, but it'll be too late. And when it comes, it's going to get the attention of some who are in the church, but they're just lukewarm. But it'll be too late for them too. And they're going to have to learn the hard way. And we don't need to be in that group that has to learn the hard way. As we see a little bit later, we have a way of escape. But we have to be zealous. We have to be committed. We have to be growing and overcoming. We have to be doing the work, and we have to be developing character now, so that then we don't have to go through all this stuff that we're reading about here. Terrible times. Woe unto them, it says, verse 23, that are with child, and them that nurse. In those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Israelite countries are going to be led away captive. They're going to die by the sword. They're going to die by pestilence and disease. And the church will be protected from this if we are zealous. But those who aren't be left behind and have to suffer this. Now the Gentile kingdoms will take over more and more, and they'll rule until Christ comes in the Middle East and in Jerusalem and in that area and in Israel. The Gentiles will, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, it says in verse 24. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And that's going to be pictured on the day of trumpets, when he comes and the trumpet sounds and his people are resurrected to meet him in the clouds and ascend back to this earth with him. When we get down to this point, the change from physical to spiritual has drawn near. It's right upon us, for your redemption draws near. Verse 29, he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. You can tell when spring comes that summer's going to follow soon after. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. The generation that is alive when these things are happening, like they are happening now. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, not surfing, but surfeiting, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Overcharged meaning weighed down, and surfeiting meaning carousing, just debauchery and all manner of filth that this world has to offer, and drunkenness. And cares of this life, what this life has to offer, all caught up into that. And we forget about the big things, the important things, and the day coming when Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth, so that that day come upon you unawares, you get caught off guard. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Why? Because they're not watching. They're not being alert They're not in touch with God. They're not in a relationship with God. They're not preparing for the kingdom. They're all wrapped up in themselves and in the world. And so they're caught off guard, and they're going to be ensnared in terrible times. Now notice verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. We quote this a lot. It's a tremendous promise, a tremendous opportunity, a tremendous blessing available to those who are walking with God, obeying God, yielding to God, serving God, putting the pounds that He gives us to use, the talents and the ability, putting Him first, not being sucked into this world, into the ways of this world, not being thrown off balance and led into places where the truth is not really being taught and the work's not really being done, and Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong and what they taught as they followed Christ not really being upheld. Verse 36 is not going to benefit them that are going their own way, forgetting about the truth, and all wrapped up in just physical things. It's going to benefit those that do this. Verse 36 of Luke 21, watch you therefore and pray always. Those that are watching, alert, involved in the truth, in tune with God, abounding in the work, praying daily, studying daily. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Every one of them, you can escape them. You can be protected from them. And then to stand before the Son of Man, be resurrected, and be right there with Him when He comes again. Now, I want to just take a minute to turn to two or three other verses to tie in with verse 36. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, this is talking about the Philadelphia era, which we're in. It says, verse 7, Revelation 3, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. No man can shut it, for you have a little strength. You're not big and powerful. And you have kept my word. You haven't compromised on the truth. Thy word is truth. You've not denied my name. You have the right government and authority and carrying out the commission I've given you. Notice verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, you won't compromise on the truth for anything and anybody. Look at this. Verse 10, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. And of course, the right translation in the Greek is tribulation, the great tribulation which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. So I'm going to keep you from all the things that we just read about. There's a way of escape for you in the Philadelphia era, that little flock that keeps His word, doesn't deny His name, and has continued in teaching the truth and doing the work and on track with His doctrines and His policies, just like the Armstrongs taught and did themselves. That's all found right in here when you really understand it, when you really see it. This little flock that keeps my word, upholds my truth, will not deny my name and my government, my authority, will get the work done. I love you. I will keep you from the hour of great tribulation. I will protect you. To you, I have a way of escape. Now let's notice while we're over here, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman, the church, which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. That's 3.5 years. Other scriptures show that, the meaning of time, times, and half a time. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Speaking about armies, symbolic there of armies. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. That's the earthquake. It's kind of like the sea opened up. The Israelites went through and then it swallowed up and came over and drowned Pharaoh. That's a connection there of the two examples in the analogy. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the remnant of her seed means the rest of her church that wasn't taken into the place of safety. That's the Laodicean church. Mr. Armstrong taught that all along, and that's who it's talking about. The Laodicean church does not go to the place of safety. The Philadelphia era, the Laodicean era doesn't, stays back and has to go into the tribulation and learn the hard way. The Philadelphia era is taken into the place of safety, which is what we just saw over here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. But notice here what it says about the Laodicean church. Verse 14 of Revelation 3. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, spiritually speaking, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Tried by fire, by the tribulation. They're going to have to go into the tribulation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, because they were not zealous before they had to go through all these things. We must be zealous, so we don't have to go through all these things. One other verse, Zephaniah chapter 2, regarding the place of safety. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3. It says here in Zephaniah 2 and verse 3, seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which we must do every day. Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness or humility. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger, or can be, or you can be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. That's the real meaning. In other words, the place of safety. So now back to Luke 21, verse 36. Just wanted to wrap it up quickly. And so I've gone through those things as we start to wrap it up, but I just wanted to tie that all in, even though it was quick. Brethren, look at this. Luke 21:36. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We're living in that time now, and this may be closer than we think. We can't set dates, but it may be closer than we think. We better be ready. We better be obeying. We better be growing and overcoming. We better be involved in the work, which we all are. Let's keep that up. Because we're living in the time of the end, and we're living closer and closer to the events that we've been reading about here tonight. Verse 37, and in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in a mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. And he taught them the truth and preached the gospel when they came to hear him. Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll begin with chapter 22 next time. Until then, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.